Okay, so welcome everyone in this special session on the user conference. As you have noticed, maybe the first speaker of the session is not live here, but we managed to set. So the reason for that was that he couldn't get his visa, although he was in time with asking and so on. He wasn't allowed in the personal room, whatever he didn't come through. So we managed to set up a Skype, and we can see, he can see. So Ali Abbas is there, and Robert is also there, the second author, and they can see you, kind of. We can hear them and see them and see the presentation. So Ali Abbas will talk about spatial policy tool for cycling potential in England. Go ahead, Ali.
Oh, hello, everyone. Thanks for coming. So I'm going to give a talk, and then Robin will hopefully answer the questions. So I'm based in Cambridge, the Center for Diet and Activity Research, and Robin is based in the University of Leeds. I'm going to talk about this tool before, let me briefly tell you about the project where it's part of. So this tool is part of a project called National Propensity to Cycle Project, which is UK's Department for Transport funded project. And it reviews preference for infrastructure and variation by age and gender. So there was a systematic review was done on variation of preference for infrastructure, cycling infrastructure by age and gender. And the overall goal of this particular tool is to develop a tool which provides an evidence base for policymakers to see where best to invest in new cycling infrastructure. We have also written a paper out of our work, and we will be very keen to hear your views on it. This tool is publicly available on pct.bike, and this tool is open and reproducible, and it's transparent. We have published our code on GitHub as well. You can see the URL over here, and this is the landing page for the tool. In terms of key features, it supplies potential, cycling potential at different various graphical regions, or graphical, you can say, level. It allows you to see cycling potential at desired lines, which allows you to, for example, see rows going from area A to area B. It also allows you to look at regional level cycling potential, and also at a specific route network. I'm going to, of course, get back to it later in the presentation, where I'm going to show you the examples. When you have origin and destination flows, this tool also kind of maps flows between origin and destination to the actual route network. You're using an API called cyclestreets.net through our own package, which I'm going to briefly touch in this presentation. And multiple various geographical level outputs are shown at a street level as well as a regional level, and you can also see at a specific medium super output area level, which is a UK census kind of geography, which covers almost 3,000 people living in a particular area. This tool is publicly available, as already mentioned, and the code is available under AGP license. These tools also allow users to develop business cases. For example, it allows you to identify what's the economic benefit with the increased level of cycling. And it also specifies how much carbon emission has been reduced in a particular scenario. I'm going to cover all those scenarios in the later presentation. Yeah, in the later slides. In terms of methods, so we are relying on Census 2011 data of UK, which supplies travel to work flow information, which is then broken down by mode and sex. And the area it covers, as I've already mentioned, is middle super output area or medium super output area. It covers a geographical region of around 3,000 people living in a particular area. And in terms of each flow, we have also calculated what's the distance between two points and what kind of hilliness or what kind of terrain it is in terms of hilliness. So if, for example, in this example, you can see the first row, there are 7 commuters. And this data, I should mention, only covers commute data. It does not cover any other kind of information or travel information. So out of, let's say, in the first row, you can see that there are 7 commuters. Only one commuter goes from home zone 361 to 362 using cycling as their main mode of travel. And you can see the distance is 0.5 kilometer and the hilliness is 0.3. Okay, so now we have data from the census, which gives us flow information, but we also wanted to develop new scenarios out of it, and meeting government, let's say, targets. What we did was we developed a set of logistic regression models, which relied on distance of trips or distance of each, you can say, flow, and also the terrain using hilliness. These two parameters I've already mentioned come from cycliststreet.net, which is a system developed by the cyclists and used by the cyclists. And in terms of scenarios, we have 4 different scenarios. So the government target scenario, let me go through them each one by one. So the government target scenario projects that cycling level will be doubled. So at the moment, it's 3% of the commute cycling or commute is being done by cycling. What if, how to get from 3% to 6%? So government target achieves that particular scenario. And gender equality scenario assumes that women have the same propensity to cycle a trip as men. Whereas GoDutch and e-bike scenario assumes that English population have the same cycling culture as Dutch population, and also have the same infrastructure. In terms of e-bikes, it assumes that people are using electric bike instead of pedal bike, which allows them to travel to longer or convert longer trips into cycling trips. And as I've already mentioned, this tool is already available on pct.py. You can have a look at it and play with it. In terms of transport planning package, we have developed, we found that there was a need to develop a transport planning package within R, which allows individuals or even, I mean, any kind of individual to use transport data and model new scenarios out of it. What it does, it allows processing of transport data, and it also allows transferring origin and destination data and then mapping it to real road network using 2 other APIs. Cycliststreet is one of them, which we are using in our case, but there's a global API also known as Graphhopper, which we can use. And it also allows you to capture different behavior in different scenarios for a particular transport scenario, and also kind of affect or kind of catch or kind of grass catchment area affected by a particular transport infrastructure. If I'm going too fast, please stop me, or if you have any questions, please do ask. Right. In terms of route allocation, as already mentioned, we are using cycliststreet.net as our API, but through ST Planner as our package. For example, in this case, you can see how there are 2 points mentioned by these purple blobs. And these 2 rows, or the 2 lines, represent fast and quiet routes between these 2 points. And the scenario which we are looking at in this particular screenshot is government target, which you can see in the drop-down menu. For example, in this case, in the baseline, using Census 2011 UK data, you can see that 148 commuters use cycling as their main mode of transport. And in this particular scenario, it increased from 148 to 221. So there's an increase, of course, in terms of scenarios. And you can see how much does that increase translate in economic figures as well as carbon dioxide reduction. you can also see how the routes are calculated at a regional level when you combine all the routes and form a route network. This kind of shows you how where the major flow lies in your region, where most, let's say, need of infrastructure is needed. In terms of major challenges, we'll see that, okay, we have developed, of course, NPCT or PCD for the whole England-wide, but we need to kind of focus on a particular region. Let's say, for example, we're focusing on a particular region called London. And then you run your application, which is developing, of course, Shiny, but for the map, you're using Leaflet as our main API. You load the data for London, you load all specific London-specific data, and then you initialize all medium super output areas, routes, and desired lines for London. And once the data is generated, of course, you generate plots according to the user-specified filters applied on the interface. And we have also got region-specific model output tag, which I'm briefly going to show it to you. And in terms of dynamicity, users can, of course, choose which elements to display on the interface, and they can also switch from one region to another region. In terms of summary, PCD kind of covers where best to intervene or improve cycling infrastructure. It does not, however, tell you what to intervene. This is where local kind of knowledge comes into practice. It's freely available to all use, and it's open source and transparent, and it also complements local knowledge with policymakers and local authorities might have. We have already worked with a couple of local authorities, for example, Greater Manchester, to provide us local information, let's say, for all types of mode people are using for leisure activities, for education layers, and for all other type of trips people are making. And then we're going to integrate all this into our PCT tool. Let me briefly show you. I don't know if I have. I do not have. So this shows you Greater Manchester PCT tools, and you can see over here I'm just displaying only top four lines going through the zones. So it shows you the top four zones for cycling in this particular scenario, which is government target. And the HTML output I was talking about is covered in model output tab. If you go to model output tab, you can see Manchester specific trips and how it differs from the national trips as well. And you can also click on a particular element to get more information about a particular trip or particular flow, and how it varies, let's say, from fast to quiet route. And we have also supplied means to download all the data from our system. You can download this in various formats, GeoGIS and CSV and RDS format. I guess that's pretty much about it. And if you have any questions, we both are fairly helpful. Yeah, we'll answer.
So are there any questions? Yes, go ahead.
What if the tool is regional specific? Can I use it for the US, for example? And I have another question about the scenarios as well. Can I develop my own scenarios? For example, if I want to give a share of e-bikes instead of giving everybody using e-bikes or something like that. I don't know if you heard it.
Sorry, it wasn't clear to me. What would you hear?
Maybe quickly step a little bit closer to the...
So I want to know if the tool is regional specific, or can I use it for the US regions, for example, like California? And my second question was, can I develop my own scenarios to use it?
Yes. I mean, Robin, would you like to answer, or do you want me to answer it?
I can answer, I guess. So at the moment, we were commissioned to build it for England. And when we submitted it as a paper, we had only done a prototype at three cities. And it was quite funny because one of the reviewers said, well, you shouldn't be saying this tool can work nationally because that's just not possible. And then we resubmitted it. We said, well, look, we built it for a whole country. So anywhere that you've got the data, this is origin destination thinking.
Yes.
You can build it, but you have to. You're going to have to do some programming to develop the scenarios.
And also, so, I mean, you can develop your own scenarios. I mean, it's we have provided quite a bit of detail how to even describe your own scenarios. Yes, you can develop your own scenarios. It could be region specific. It could be national and national level specific as well. Yeah.
Any other questions? So I had a question. So in terms of let's say our packages and available and all the data that you have to bring in and out and so on, what are do you believe you know that it works smoothly, or are there particular bottlenecks in bringing in particular kinds of data and particular kind of analyses?
It was quite challenging, to be honest, because we haven't seen many applications out there which are using multi-layer data without using Shiny as their main kind of building block. So it was kind of challenging to use. I mean, we had to kind of develop very interesting mechanism to load, not to load server or even client side with lots of information, and with smooth transition from one region to another, and also kind of reduce the even the data side so that it does not take too long to load at the client side. So yeah, I mean, it was kind of challenging. And I mean, Robin, would you like to? I mean, because we haven't seen any other system which is similar in this aspect. Yeah.
I think Ali summed it up very well. The fact that R is translating a lot of stuff into JavaScript is a challenge. So it's not easy to access the underlying JavaScript in the leaflet map, but you can hack it. So we've done a bit of that. I think the major bottleneck is when you load the root network, you've got maybe a couple of megabytes of data going onto the client side. And that slows down, so we can't. We're trying to stop that slowdown.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks a lot for attending, and see you soon.
Okay.